Good morning and welcome back to our presidential weekend series on America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are wrapping up the Virginia dynasty today. We have had Washington, Jefferson, and Madison. Now we have number five, the man who literally bled for the Revolution and then spent the rest of his life expanding the nation. We are profiling James Monroe.
James Monroe is such a fascinating figure because he really is the bridge between two worlds. He is the last of the founding fathers to be president. He was an officer in the Revolutionary War. He was actually shot in the shoulder at the Battle of Trenton. There is a famous painting of Washington crossing the Delaware, and the young guy holding the flag behind Washington. That is James Monroe. So he had this incredible hero aura about him. He even continued to dress like a founding father, wearing knee breeches and powdered wigs, long after everyone else had switched to long pants. They called him the last cocked hat.
But while he looked like the past, his presidency was all about the future. Historians call his time in office the era of good feelings.
Which is a great marketing slogan, but maybe not totally accurate. It was called that because the Federalist Party had basically collapsed. Monroe ran for re-election in 1820 unopposed. He got every single electoral vote except one. So on the surface, everyone was getting along. But underneath, it was a mess. You had the Panic of 1819, which was a massive economic depression. Banks failed. People lost their farms. It was the first time Americans realized that the economy could just crash for no reason.
And then you had the slavery issue, which exploded during his term.
Right, the Missouri crisis. Missouri wanted to join the Union as a slave state. The North said no. The South threatened civil war. This was in 1820, 40 years before the actual Civil War. Monroe signed the Missouri Compromise, which basically kicked the can down the road. It drew a line across the country, the 36 degrees 30 parallel, and said, slavery allowed below this line, banned above it. Monroe was a slaveholder himself. He owned a plantation called Highland, right next to Jefferson's Monticello. He owned hundreds of people over his lifetime, and only freed one. He believed the solution to slavery was sending people back to Africa, which is why the capital of Liberia is named Monrovia. It's a very complicated and, frankly, tragic part of his legacy.
But his biggest win, the thing that puts him in the history books, is foreign policy. Specifically two things, Florida and the doctrine.
Let's start with Florida. People forget that Florida was owned by Spain, and it was a chaotic borderland. It was a haven for escaped slaves and Seminole tribes who would raid Georgia. Monroe sent Andrew Jackson down there to, quote, secure the border, and Jackson being Jackson, he basically invaded. Monroe used that pressure to force Spain to sell. The Adams-Onis Treaty of 1819 gave us Florida. It was a huge expansion.
And then, the Monroe Doctrine.
The ultimate keep-out sign. In 1823, Monroe gave a speech where he told the European powers, Spain, France, Britain, that the Western Hemisphere was closed. No more colonies. If you mess with South America, you are messing with the United States. Now, funny detail, Monroe didn't actually write it. His Secretary of State, John Quincy Adams, wrote most of it. But Monroe was the one who had the guts to say it. At the time, the U.S. Navy was tiny. We couldn't really enforce it. But it planted the flag that America was the dominant power in this half of the world.
And finally, we have to talk about the end. We mentioned this with Jefferson and Adams, but Monroe makes it a pattern.
It is the spookiest thing in American history. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on July 4, 1826. 5 years later, almost to the hour, James Monroe died on July 4, 1831. The last three founding fathers all died on Independence Day. You can't make that up. But unlike the others, Monroe died broke. He had spent all his money serving the country. He died living in a spare bedroom at his daughter's house in New York City. It was a humble end for a guy who doubled the size of the country.
The last cocked hat, gone on the 4th of July.
It really was the end of an era.
That is our profile for the fifth president. Join us tomorrow as we meet the first son of a president to take the job, John Quincy Adams. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com, and remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.